Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. The first weekend of the Major League Baseball season is in the books. We had some crazy outings, to say the least, and a couple of fun storylines that popped up. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that, Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher who spent his big league days with the San Francisco Giants, now works for NBC Sports Bay Area and also KMBR. We're going to talk Major League Baseball. Bill, pleasure to get you back on for another season. Thank you again for the time.
Yeah, welcome to the 2018 baseball season, and boy, this weekend sure started off with a lot of twists and turns, didn't it?
Oh, buddy, I'll tell you what. We'll start by talking about your San Francisco Giants. We did talk a lot about this series last week, but locked in a four-game set with the Dodgers. And they come away with two wins, 1-0 and 1-0, but then the Dodgers fire back with a 5-0 win and then a 9-0 win. And in fact, since the expansion era of baseball, this is the first time we've ever had a shutout in every game in a four-game series to start a new season. So there's some historic significance, I guess, in this one. Very weird and just odd series, to say the least, Bill.
Yeah, and I tell you what, there were so many different history things that came out of it. They said since 1943, the Reds was the only team that opened up with a 1-0 win the first two games. And then they even went any further. They said, the first time in ever in Major League Baseball history, a player hit two home runs that won the game 1-0, and that's what Joe Panik did in the history of Major League Baseball. So the weekend was definitely breaking history records in L.A., but, you know, when you look at the whole series, I really hope the Giants would have won Saturday or Sunday to get 3 out of 4 with their luck they had the first two games, but the Dodgers' bats definitely exploded, and they came out of there with a 2-2 record, and I'm sure they're happy with that, with absolutely no offense from the three guys they picked up over the offseason.
Austin Jackson, Andrew McCutchen, Evan Longoria, they go, what, 2 for 43, is that right?
2 for 43, wow. In the series, yeah. And really, Austin Jackson was just a bloop to center, and McCutchen drove one to right, but Longoria, 0 for 15. And at the end, some of the reviews that he said, he goes, yeah, I'm 0 for 15. I know I am, so I got to start all over again. And, you know, here's a pro that was with Tampa Bay for 10 years, the face of the franchise. And, you know, as he was coming up to bat the first game, he was relaxed. The second game, the third game, I think he was really striving, holding the bat a little tighter. The bat head was behind his head a little bit deeper. And when I look at those things, the guy's stressing a little bit, and he's trying so hard. Today, of course, they have the day off, and then they open up tomorrow at AT&T against the Mariners, and the Mariners have played pretty well. They're 2-1 going into, they beat Cleveland 2 out of 3. So, you know, it's been a good 2-2 record. I'm sure they're happy with that. Definitely they're not happy with the offense.
If we stick in this NL West, I mean, I believe it goes through L.A. once again this year, and I think we got a little taste of what the Dodgers have firepower-wise offensively. And again, they're doing that without Justin Turner. But we take a look at another series, Arizona and Colorado. Saw some interesting stuff in this series as well, and Zach Greinke looked great in his start against the Rockies. Arizona takes 2 out of 3, Bill.
A lot of offense in that series. You know, one time I was flipping back and forth, and it was like 7-7 in the third inning, and I'm like, but they're playing in Arizona. You know,
right.
Figure that would be the score in Colorado. So I still think, you know, when you look at how the National League West ended last year, you had Colorado and Arizona playing in a wild card, the Dodgers winning the NL West, and I just think the NL West, flip a coin, I really think there's going to be different teams beating up each other. San Diego started off with a good series against Milwaukee, but they finished 0-3. I just think the NL West, from top to bottom, definitely a harder division each year.
Absolutely. I mean, the NL West in itself, it's going to be crazy, Bill. And aside from that one series, the other series that really interests me a lot was San Diego and Milwaukee. And I say that because I don't know if there's a more interesting outfield situation in the National League than these two teams, right? I mean, do you agree with me on that end?
Oh, 100%. I mean, Milwaukee has so many different ways they can approach the starting pitcher. And of course, Yelich, I just love Yelich when he was with Miami. I know the Giants were trying to get him in the offseason. Just a young, great, talented outfielder. You also picked up Kane from Kansas City, who really originated with Milwaukee. He was the first team he signed with. So, you know, picking up both those guys, I think Milwaukee is definitely a surprise team, but they kind of put themselves in that target area, them and the Cubs for the Central.
The Chicago Cubs, this is a team that won the World Series 2 years ago, fell just short in the NLCS last year. First pitch of the season, Ian Happ takes it deep, and that's the first time, and I think since like 1986 that's happened to start off a baseball season. Again, one of those historical footnotes. It'll be a trivia question one day. But outside of that, they split with the Marlins. What do you like in Chicago or dislike with the Cubs this year, Bill, as we get set now for the new season?
Yeah, I still think, you know, their stars always are going to come out. Rizzo, Bryant, those are the two main guys. And, you know, getting a split in Miami, I was really a shock of that, the one game going 17 innings. I just look at their starting rotation, picking up Hugh Darvish. I think that's a big plus for them, along with Lester and the other part of that roster and the starting rotation. I just think now they're going to go into Cincinnati here for three games. Cincinnati just looked really bad, and that team's just falling apart, I think. I think they're just one of the teams that just are going to struggle this year. But when you look at the Cubs, I think the Cubs are just trying to get on the track again to get going. And to split with Miami, it surprised me. Miami, of course, is just, really no stars, no attendance, nothing going on down there, and they're going to have to rebuild. But I just think the Cubs are going to be another one of those teams that are going to be at the top again. And I still think Milwaukee's got a great chance of winning that division, you know. And I just don't think St. Louis has enough. I look at the NL East. I really like the Mets if that starting rotation stays solid.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned the Reds, and then you mentioned the Brewers. I'm with you. I think the Brewers have a terrific chance to win that division because I think their roster is incomplete. I think there's too many assets on that team for this roster to stay pat. I think they make a move at some point in time this season. But as far as Cincinnati goes, I mean, Eugenio Suarez gets paid. Joey Votto's a guy that I think could actually win the Triple Crown. I think he's that talented offensively. You have some guys like Nick Senzel coming up from the minors. You got Blandino. Jesse Winker's a guy that I think is going to become an everyday player. At what point in time do the Cincinnati Reds take a look at the big picture and see what they could get for Joey Votto?
Boy, I tell you what, you got to look at who needs the first baseman. That's the first thing. And then you got to take a look at all your contending teams that could take on that payroll, too. As you know, we talk about all the time this luxury tax, and all these teams seem to jump in that same basket once that first team said, oh, no, we're not going to go over it. And it just seemed everybody was stuck with it. And I think that's the nature of the beast right now until the next free agency when all the big studs are going to come out, the Harpers, the Kershaws, Machado, you know, all these big guys, then are going to go, okay, let's open the bank and see who we're going to grab. So I just think that the contending teams, this thing's going to be real easy by All-Star break. I really believe there's going to be top-line teams and lower teams, lower-tier teams. And you might be able to steal a Votto from a lower-tier team. And there's no doubt he's going to contend. You put him in any type of batting order, and he's going to be a stud. He's just a great hitter. You talked about the Triple Crown. He could possibly do that for any team.
One of the teams in the National League, Bill, that I found a lot of, it was very fun to watch, is the Atlanta Braves. I mean, they have a lot of young talent coming up on this team. Ozzie Albies, of course, everybody's waiting for Okuna to make the, you know, get the call to come up to the bigs, which I believe will happen within the next couple of weeks. And they didn't look that bad over the weekend. I mean, they went up against a Philadelphia team that I think a lot of people thought made vast improvements over the offseason, yet the Braves put up a lot of runs over the weekend, and I think this is going to be a fun team to watch throughout the year.
I do, too. I mean, and you know, the thing about it, you look at all the young talent, some of the guys have gone in there 1 or 2 years, and they're starting to gel, and they see the progress. They're starting to see the younger talent coming up, giving him an opportunity. And you hit it on the head. They're scoring runs. And when you get teams to score runs, they start believing in themselves. The confidence factor comes into it. Move the line. You hear all the different adjectives that hitting coaches always say. You know, get the guy over, doing the little things that manufacture runs. And that's the Atlanta Braves of 2018. I watched a couple innings of their games, a few of them, and they did. They look like a team that can not contend, but at least starting to move in the way to contend as these younger players get more experienced.
We have to talk about the AL because, of course, here in the state of Utah, we have a lot of transplant fans. The New York Yankees made big waves. Giancarlo Stanton was fantastic in his debut for New York, but at the same time, they end up 2-2 over the weekend. The Boston Red Sox are at the top of the American League East. You know, when we talk about the AL, I like some teams coming out of the West. Of course, you got the World Series champs. I think the Angels are the best defensive team maybe in all of baseball in the Central. I think you got the Indians. The Twins are going to be interesting. But front to back, it's really hard to go against the AL East, right?
I would believe so, too. Just the starting rotations, the middle of the order. Of course, the Yankees get snowed out on opening day to day. I got to watch Ohtani pitch yesterday against the Oakland A's. He's for real. Topping a couple times at 100 miles an hour. I think the Angels, I just don't think they have a closer. You know, they have three different guys that can do different things. I just think that's one of their keys that the Angels are going to have a problem with. But, you know, I got to watch this Oakland Coliseum light up. They had over 250 media people from Japan there. And he went out there, and it looked like he had pitched in the big leagues 10 years. He was stoic. Nothing bothered him. Chapman hit a home run off him. Didn't bug him. He retired the next few guys, and he just got right back in a row through six solid innings. Good split finger, a little breaking ball, but 94, 96, 98 every time was high, mid-90s or above. And like I said, a couple of them, he hit 100. And I know the Giants are going after him very much. And a young, talented kid that's going to be the next Babe Ruth, as we know, he's going to be DHing as well as pitching. But again, they're going to a six-man rotation to give him a little bit more time. And we'll definitely see how that transpires as the season progresses. But I'm right with you. I think the AL East, as well as the Houston Astros, those are going to be the three contending teams, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and Astros, as we get down to the wire.
Hey, it's the best time of the year. Baseball season is back. Bill, I appreciate you taking out the time to join us. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Yeah, on Twitter, I'm at Lasky19, doing a little bit of that. And just more or less, if you get on KNBR on weekends, we're streamlining KNBR 680. If you want to get on, pull it up on your podcast, and we have radio live. We did our first show this past Saturday. Vita Blue, of course, is my partner. Had some great guests. We interviewed Robbie Thompson, Chris Spire, and Kevin Mitchell, more of a San Francisco Giants show for the Giant fans out there. But just some great interviews with some class players, and we're going to continue to do this, and we're on pretty much every Saturday. So take a look on KNBR and pick us up and give us a listen. But at the same time, I can't wait to continue to talk baseball with you and all the fans in Utah. It's a great time of the year, and love talking baseball with you, my friend.
I love it too, Bill. Thank you very much for the time, and I know we'll do it again soon.
Excellent. Thank you.
Not a problem at all, Bill. Look forward to the conversations in the future. Again, that's Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, taking out the time to talk some Major League Baseball here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to break one more time. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of the show when we return.